This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is our number, but on this day, cell service is generally not working, so it will take a landline most likely, and if that's the case, you probably can get in at 877-217-5757. You can email us, talk@talklouisiana.org, and our leadoff guest is Mayor President of East Baton Rouge Parish, Sharon Weston Broom, elected in 2016, reelected in 2020, and she has been through one crisis after another since her inauguration, and it is another day in paradise, as they say, and Baton Rouge was spared the worst of Hurricane Ida, although we do have immense damage, massive power outages. Southern part of our state, a much different story, and in a bit we'll hear from Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser, who is surveying the situation. But Mayor Broom, I'm glad we made contact with you, and I'm glad you're safe and sound. How's it looking from your perspective?
Well, Jim, I'll tell you, I'm extremely grateful this morning. Baton Rouge experienced a major wind event, and like you said, we were spared. I think everybody anticipated that it was going to be extremely traumatic. And while I'm certainly not minimizing the impact that took place, it was not as nearly as catastrophic as we thought. Of course, you know, we are now working to help and assist our neighbors in nearby communities. Like in St. John's Parish that was devastated in other areas between Baton Rouge and New Orleans. So we've got our search and rescue teams already on the way to assist.
And we have thousands of people without power, and it could take a while to restore matters.
Yes. Now, I'm kind of guarded in saying this word because I know people don't want to hear the P word, but I think it's going to take a little patience when you consider the fact that we have nearly 170,000 residents or customers that are without power in EBR. It's going to take, as the young people say, it's going to take a minute to get this restored. But I do know that both Entergy and DEMCO are committed to expediting and working tirelessly to restore power.
You said 175,000. That's a lot of people.
170. Entergy at this time is reporting 137,051, and DEMCO is reporting 30,190.
Okay, so almost 170.
It's nearly, correct, nearly 170.
And presumably, in most cases, more than one person lives in a house, so we're talking about a huge portion of the parish that is affected. And I remember in the flood of 2016, you were affected immensely. Did you come out okay?
We did. We did. Our neighborhood certainly has is dealing with a power outage. I've been here this morning. I left my house early and came here for about 5:15. So I'm going to go back into the neighborhood. Your friend, Mr. Broom, is out talking to the neighbors, I'm told, so that he can, well, can help me. I'm putting him to work this morning.
Well, one of our favorite guests, the first man, Marvin Broom, is surveying the situation, and he always has a smile, and right now we can use a few of those. And I've been out and about a bit by the necessity of what I do. And, for example, on Old Hammond, frequently traveled route, there's a tree down and a power line down. Jefferson had a big tree down on the roadway that's now been moved off. But it's still a treacherous situation. I would imagine you're advising people, if they can, to stay put.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, Jim, because, you know, the parish-wide curfew has expired. However, I need people to really stay in your homes and off the road because conditions are not safe. You know, there are trees that are down. There are live wire power lines that are down, and you can't tell if they are alive or not. So the best thing to do is to avoid potential danger by staying off of the road. And in time, we'll be able to get back on the road. I will tell you this, that We've already activated debris removal efforts. We've got 40 crews that are being deployed with trucks and chainsaws to clear roadways. And we will be clearing the roads for at least the next 70 hours. So that kind of tells you the magnitude of the work that we have ahead of us.
Now, I know I can tell because I drove by and some of the hotels were dark last night, so they lost power too, but they usually have capacity to come back faster. And a listener asks, is there any hotel capacity for those who are seeking relief from what may be several days without power at their homes? Is there any room at the inn?
Well, I do know this past weekend there was no room at the inn. We were filled to capacity. And, of course, you know, we did open two shelters. Both of them have capacity, the one at the F.G. Clark Activity Center as well as the one at the River Center. So both of those have capacity needed. We only have about 150 people total at both of those facilities. But over the weekend, we were told that our hotels were filled to capacity. And so I don't know if that has changed in a significant way, but they were filled.
And another listener asked about shelters. I know of two at Raisin Cane's River Center and at the F.G. Clark Activity Center. Those are still up and running, aren't they?
Those are our primary facilities right now, our primary shelters that we're utilizing. And as I said, we do have space there. Now, I have to say this, Jim, you know, we're dealing with two crises simultaneously, right? We're dealing with the recovery from Ida, and we're also still dealing with a pandemic. So if people come to a shelter and they test positive for COVID-19, then they will be isolated in a different segment of the shelter, because we've got to keep our residents, you know, safe. And that includes their health as well. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Well, it is a time that is, they say, trying men's and women's souls, pandemic, hurricane. It's just a time in which we'd rather not have, but we're dealing with it. But quite often, these kinds of things bring out the best in people. And Louisiana, as the governor noted, has a tough and resilient population. But my goodness, we've got to put our best foot forward.
We definitely have to put our best foot forward, and I think we do well at putting our best foot forward. As you said, we are resilient. My consistent message, and I've seen it manifest in the comments from our citizens and their reactions, and that is, you know, I believe if we press forward, stay calm, stay strong, and stay united in our recovery, we will get through this successfully.
And it doesn't hurt to consult a higher power if you believe in such. This happened on the anniversary, as we know, 16 years since Katrina. But remember, after Katrina came Rita, and the hurricane season is far from over. And unfortunately, we're not guaranteed that we couldn't have an encore. So that has to be in the back of people's minds. Look at what happened to Lake Charles last year.
Yes, yes. And let me just say this. I certainly believe in a higher power. And somebody sent me a text message this morning and said, you know, I believe your prayer group and everybody who prayed that it worked. And so we're going to believe that. But I have to tell you, of the many, many encouraging text messages that I received from folks within Baton Rouge area and outside and different other cities, mayors, et cetera, I was most touched by the one that I received from our good friend, Mayor Nick Hunter in Lake Charles. What other community has you talk about a community that has been hit back to back to back. And I believe it was Friday when he sent me a message that said, you know, we're praying for you, stay strong. And that just resonated, although it was very simple. The stay strong message, I think, was just, for me, it was very revelatory and prophetic, I believe, for our community. And so I counted that a very encouraging word from Mayor Nick Hunter.
He's been through it, and he has had a steady hand through perilous times, and that city is still, as we know, facing enormous challenges. And as you say, be patient. It'll take a minute or two or three for power to be restored. But as things go, the storm veered just a bit to the right, to the east, and that saved Baton Rouge from a slam job that would have been epic. And we can be thankful that it did not happen. And Mayor, thanks for your leadership. And we'll be calling again soon, and we'll let you get back to work. I know you have a busy day. Thank you, Mayor.
Thanks so much, Jim. Have a good day.
Be safe. And we'll return and spend some more time talking about the wrath and aftermath of Hurricane Ida. 150 miles per hour. It tied Laura's record from last year for the most powerful storm to ever hit Louisiana. We're back after this 90-second pause. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support for our show is from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. This is a day in which hurricane coverage supplants everything else on the agenda, and we'd had Dane Sherman scheduled to be with us to talk about different matters, but he lives in Louisiana. In fact, his area in Tangipahoa Parish was hit pretty hard, I understand, by Ida. New Orleans last night totally without power, with the exception of those who have generators. Jefferson Parish also hit, in which most of that parish without power. And it's estimated that it will take 3 weeks for power to be restored in Jefferson Parish. So you can imagine what's in store for Orleans and, to a lesser extent, in East Baton Rouge. It may take a couple of weeks. I remember it did after Hurricane Andrew in 1992. 167,000 homes and businesses without power in East Baton Rouge. But Dane Sherman is still with us. The show goes on, and he's here to talk about a few matters maybe, but most importantly, he is affected by the storm. He teaches at Southeastern Louisiana University. And Dane, I think you got out of harm's way, but I know you're in touch with people who weathered it out, literally. What's going on in your world?
Well, of course, as I said, when we talked recently, or yesterday, Jim, that I left for Arkansas. On Saturday, we got out about noon to the exact same place we went during Hurricane Katrina when my son was 9 months old. Now he's 16, and we have a somewhat frail my mother-in-law, so we took her, and she lives a couple doors down, and we went to Arkansas where we're staying with relatives. We're with relatives in central Arkansas. So my neighborhood, I have not gotten anything direct in since late last night in my neighborhood. I've noticed one of my best friends lives about one road over, maybe a half a mile, and he can't get in or out. I mean, he can't go either way to drive around because the roads are covered with trees. So it sounded like it got pretty rough last night. From what I'm looking at, it appears as though I live in Ponchatoula, that it seems as that the west side of Ponchatoula all the way up into Hammond, west of 55, seems really to have been hit hard. A lot of people we were hearing from that are our friends that were able to text us last night that lived on the west side had trees on their houses. And so even right near my neighborhood, just right on the other side of our little subdivision, they have electricity. Mine does not, but it seems like the west side, I live on the east side of Ponchatoula, is seem to be struck much, much more hard by the storm.
Well, when that storm veered away from Baton Rouge, obviously it has to go somewhere else, and because of that, and when I say veering away, we're talking about 20 miles, and that made all the difference, but that means places like Ponchatoula and Hammond and surrounding areas that you know well, they get hit harder.
And it seems to, if what I'm reading on Twitter and social media, that LaPlace, there are a lot of people that are stranded, that they're waiting for somebody on a boat or high water vehicle to get them out in LaPlace. And there was just a lot of cries of wanting to be rescued. on Twitter last night. I've kind of been up most of the night watching it on the internet, live TV and stuff on through YouTube, trying to understand what's going on. And it just seems like LaPlace has really been hit hard.
877-217-5757. As I stated, if you're using a cell phone today, you're probably not going to get into the show. And if you have a landline, you've got a much better shot. And obviously a man with a landline is David in Atlanta. He also is a transplant. He was forced out of our state by Hurricane Katrina and never came back. His house in East New Orleans was destroyed. David, good morning to you.
8 feet of water in the house, but I evacuated to Mississippi, and I'm totally blind, and had I not evacuated, I'd probably been floated away and ended up in the marsh being eaten by alligators. But, you know, the day will come, and it's not that far in the future, when Louisiana will be uninhabitable because nobody's going to be able to afford to buy a home or build a building, because I promise you, unless the Republicans take dramatic action to control the environment, these hurricanes are going to be more frequent and more powerful, and insurance rates are going to skyrocket. People would not be able to afford to buy a house to pay the flood insurance and the casualty insurance. And whenever, you know, you bring up cap and trade or any other rational scientific method to control the atmosphere, the Republicans call it government control, or, you know, I can understand why there were Salem witch trials, because today's Republicans represent that same mentality.
All right, David, you're obviously a partisan, but climate change is real. Global warming is real, and it's certainly contributed to some degree by human activity. But yet our congressional delegation, which you would think would be most in tune with this, Dane Sherman, is largely saying it's a non-factor, and that is unfortunate, because David's right. It may become a case in which we either wash away, as Randy Newman said in his song Louisiana 1927, or we can't afford to live here, or we don't want to live here. I mean, who would want to buy a beautiful home on the lake in New Orleans right now? It's really a difficult problem that won't go away without some large degree of attention.
Well, there are a lot of points that David made that are salient, and that is, and I don't want to be particularly partisan, but there is a hysteria, an anti-science hysteria that's going on. We see this, and I think I've said this over and over related to the Salem witch trials, that there's a hysteria, an anti-science, anti-rationality hysteria that's just taken over a large part of the country, and you see it in the anti-vaccine movement, which is just so, it's sad. It's a disinformation, misinformation campaign. It's totally based on conspiracy theories and lies and total anti-science, and it's killing us. And we can see a very similar parallel to the unwillingness to address climate change, which is the consensus of science. Probably 99% of scientists that agree that the carbon, human-created carbon is causing this, and it is going to make not just Louisiana, but America's coastline almost uninhabitable. It's making the West, and I mean west of the Mississippi River, very dangerous for fires, and we need to put not just our strongest face forward, but our best science forward to address these issues.
Now, the COVID age has affected college campuses, as we know. Now that the FDA has approved the vaccine fully, at least the Moderna vaccine. What's your take on where it'll be now? You've got in southeastern Louisiana University, where you are, they've got a hurricane to clean up from, and you got this. What's going on there is based on what you know at this point?
Well, of course, Jim, I think you mentioned the Moderna being, well, but it's actually the Pfizer.
It's the Pfizer.
That's right.
Thank you.
The Moderna, What's happening, and I don't speak for the university at all. I'm speaking myself as a private citizen. But I will say this. They're coming on pretty strong on the employees to get the vaccine. Basically, we've gotten communication in the last week or so that basically said you're going to take the vaccine or you're going to get tested every week. And I think that's, to me, that's great. What I would do is I would say the same thing for every student. You're either going to take the vaccine. This is not just one university. It needs to be statewide. It needs to be coming down from the governor and the Board of Regents. Everybody needs to either get the vaccine or be tested weekly in every school in Louisiana.
Thank you, Dane Sherman. We'll be back with Billy Nungesser on Talk Louisiana.
Clouds roll in from the north and it start to rain.
This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. We're assessing the aftermath of Hurricane Ida. On Monday morning, as in today, spotty cell service, blocked roads, sweeping power outages for more than a million customers throughout South Louisiana make it tough for officials to figure out the extent of the wreckage. But one of those who is out and about, as he always is, and he was president of Plaquemines Parish for many years and went through a few of these, is Billy Nungesser, the lieutenant governor of Louisiana. And good morning to you, Governor.
Good morning. How you doing?
Fine. Where are you right now?
I'm at the barracks here in Baton Rouge at the next to the Capitol.
What's your, you're at your office then. What's your assessment?
Yeah, it's been a long night. We, all night we were getting people out of Jesuit Ben and Plaquemines. Long after they went to sleep, we got calls that, the water was breaching sandbags on Highway 23 and traveling. So it was a panic to get people and wake them up. And so through the night was able to get, I believe, most of the people out of there. And like other areas of the state, just inundated with water. And on top of that, the high winds has made it very difficult to assess really where the major damage is and where people need to be rescued first.
This was an immense storm. It spared Baton Rouge some. It veered away to the east about 20 miles, and, of course, that is like night and day when it comes to damage. But it affects other parishes more so than ours, where we are right now. And New Orleans and Jefferson parishes, those areas are the flooding isn't what it was with Katrina, but nonetheless, the power outages are immense, and it will take some time. Trees came down. The wind damage is excessive, Governor.
Yeah, it's going to be a long haul. You know, one thing we hope to be able to work is to house with some man camps or closer to the affected areas. We saw in Lake Charles the traffic of getting people working to clean debris, to get the power back on, having to travel long distances. We need those people every day that we can get the lights back on and get people back to those areas. So being able to keep those people as close to the work as possible is going to be important to expedite. But it's going to be a long haul and for a large area. So it's we've done it before. It's this is probably one that we're going to gauge for many years to come. You know, we always talked about before and after Katrina. It'll be in this talked about in the same sense. This storm has devastated so many areas.
Well, this one, as I stated earlier, tied last year's Laura for the most potent wind power to hit the state, 150 miles per hour. Now, in Baton Rouge, I think Betsy still holds the record, 92 miles per hour. And Governor Nungesser, you've been through these. You grew up in the New Orleans area. You probably remember Betsy as I do.
Yeah, I was on cable drive and shortly after went with my father down to check on. He was in the seafood business at the time. I went to check on his friends in the shrimp business down to Venice and driving around the homes on the highway.
Well, for people who want power back now, after all, it is hot. And the governor said that some people in Lake Charles died last year from basically heat stroke. They would be outside and then come inside and got very little relief. What do you suggest to people who are facing the prospect of being weeks without power?
Yeah, if you've got a place to stay where there's power, stay away as long as you can. Allow the energy crews to get in there. And we've got to get hopefully FEMA and the relief to get people some adequate housing that lost their homes quicker. You know, waiting 6-9 months for a FEMA trailer that costs $200,000 is not an adequate way of taking care of people. We'd be better off giving them a $50,000 voucher to go buy an RV and let them start working on their house the next day. We've got to come up with a better way and busing them hours away from their home. You know, we're still working to rebuild homes in Lake Charles and Cameron. We've got a long road still there. So we've got to really work as a team and make sure we're taking advantage of every opportunity to move as quickly as possible, not be tied up hours in traffic and trying to do the cleanup and repairs.
Your parish that you were president of, Plaquemines, it is actually on the Gulf of Mexico. How did it fare?
Well, the federal levees that the last two sections were under construction, and I believe we'll find out now in daylight that flooding that occurred that drove that water up Highway 23, I wouldn't be surprised if those levees that were just newly constructed with no vegetation from that pounding of those waves washed away that raw dirt that allowed some of that water to move onto Highway 23. Unfortunately, we needed a good year of growing the grass on those levees before we got a storm like this. So I know Ironton was taking water yesterday. Down where I live is inundated with water. And it's the first time Katrina didn't flood just with Ben. So to see that water driven up Highway 23 in the middle of the night is something that hadn't happened before.
A listener asks about the Cajun Navy. They've been involved, largely have a good reputation. Your thoughts about what they are doing?
Absolutely. You know, I've talked to a few of those guys through the night before I lost I have AT&T and my phone is down. And they were staging some of their response to the areas. And they'll be a big part of the response. Allowing the governor with the National Guard and Wildlife and Fishery and Fire Marshal and those professionals to get in there quickly and to rescue the people that may have rotted out in their attic or on their roof or may have been trapped by fallen trees in a mobile home. We need to make that our focus to get out and get those people rescued first.
877-217-5757. We'll have a bit more time with Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser. And as mentioned, cell phones are largely not working right now in this area. So if you're calling, you're probably going to have to use a landline. Some emails are getting through at talk@talklouisiana.org. But this is a historic time, and we're talking about a man who was born in 1959, so he's been around for Betsy and Camille and Andrew and Gustav and Katrina and now Ida. Ida will be a name that we will remember, and August 29th seems to be a date that is one that lives in infamy in our state. It's the date of Katrina, and it appears, Governor, that most of these storms, with the exception of Rita, they occur either in the last week of August or the first week of September. That's the sweet spot where we have these calamitous storms in South Louisiana.
Yeah, we were hoping to get over the hump. And when we saw this thing pop up, a lot of people had the same eerie feeling in their gut that I did. You know, I rode out Katrina 14 miles from the eye, rescued people and brought them to my house that live with me because all eyes were on New Orleans. And we housed and fed people down there at my home for months till we got only first responders made it into the parish. So, but look, the bright side of this, if there is any, Baton Rouge was spared with that little turn. And that's good to have the government being able to have be operational, and a lot of the workers up here will be able to get back to work and help assist those parishes that were mostly affected. And people from all over the country will come once again, as they did after Katrina, because emotionally this has really had a drain. I've talked to people like Dean Blanchett from Grand Isle. First time he never rode out the storm, but he had employees down there, lost his business. Part of his house was blown away the last time I talked to him, and I've never heard him so down about the hurricane. So it's going to take everybody working together, but Louisianans, we help our neighbors in the toughest of times, and we'll get through it. We just got to all work as a team to help everyone that needs help and keep it in the press. You know, we forgot about Lake Charles and Cameron, which we're still got volunteer groups over there helping those people get back in their home. And that mayor's been slow to get federal response to Lake Charles. We've got to make sure that doesn't happen, and we stay in front of the press and make sure we get the federal assistance in a timely manner in cutting through some of the red tape that usually accompanies these kind of things.
Another listener, and you mentioned Grand Isle. I hear it was that area is always hit hard, but this time especially so.
Yeah, it's the videos I saw was 6 to 8 foot of water inside of shops, and of course I mentioned Dean Blanchett's seafood dock. He said it was completely gone, and it's going to be one of the hardest hit areas. Very little protection, and I'm sure that island is completely devastated, and I'm sure the landscape of the island will be affected as it is after every storm. We see islands pop off of Grand Isle, and it kind of shifts that dirt around. So it's gonna have a long-lasting effect on Grand Isle.
877-217-5757, and please use a landline if you're trying to reach us. And the emails are getting through to some degree, talk@talklouisiana.org. We'll spend a bit more time with Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser, who was out and about in his old hustings last night, but he is at his office at the Pentagon today, Pentagon Barracks, and he is here to talk about the lay of the land post-Ida. Ida has come and gone, but left her mark. Not as bad in Baton Rouge as Gustav or some other storms, but still, power outages, trees down, and the psyche of our state has been rocked once again. We'll talk with Governor Nungesser after this quick pause on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle producing today on his last day at the Louisiana Radio Network. At least for a while, he's heading for WWL and going to a place where there's no power right now. So he'll have a big story to cover. And in Baton Rouge, it's much better than it is in New Orleans. And what a difference 80 miles makes. What a difference about 55 miles makes when you figure what's happening in La Paz right now. And I think we may have lost contact with Governor Nungesser. If we can restore that, we will. We're talking about the aftermath of Hurricane Ida. The wrath of Ida has affected our state immensely. More than 1 million people are without power. And in Baton Rouge, and more than 167,000 homes and businesses are without power. And as a result of that, we're talking about, if we just say two people in every home and are in business, and we know it's more than that, that's over 300,000 people affected, and that's much of the parish. So it is a mess, and it will continue for a while. But right now, only one fatality reported. A gentleman in Prairieville or near Prairieville last night was hit by a tree, 60-year-old man. But other than that, everybody is okay as far as life and death matters. LSU opens its season Saturday at the Rose Bowl against UCLA. The Fighting Tigers are now practicing in Texas and Houston, getting ready for that game. I went by Tiger Stadium Saturday morning. They were out on the field then, but shortly thereafter, they went to the Lone Star State. Billy Nungesser back with us, and as mentioned, he is a product of South Louisiana. He knows this area, and he's lived in all three of the major metro areas, New Orleans, Baton Rouge, New Orleans. And after a while, you never get immune to these things, but they do take their toll. I can tell you're one of the most enthusiastic people I know, but Governor Nungesser, you sound a bit subdued this morning, and for good reason.
You know, Jim, my heart breaks because, you know, right now, Katrina, and having people from all walks of life living at your home, helping them build, tell them it's going to be okay, and knowing we're up against those same challenges again, your heart just breaks for those people. And it's going to be a long road. And many times down there when people thought of giving up, and then a crew, a church from out of town shows up and says, what can we do to help? And you kind of say, oh, people are here to help us. And you kind of recharges you and picks you back up and helps you get going again. And we've got so many great base groups around the country that come here and feed people and gut home and help people out. And those groups will be here again. And along with the great Louisiana, as you know, I've already had calls from people in North Louisiana saying they're ready to put their life on hold to come down here, whatever they can to help when the time is right. And that's what Louisianans do. So is ultimately it's going to be as people get home and see their homes destroyed, know that we're going to be there to help them through it. And we're going to continue to work hard till everybody's back in their home and we build our community back.
I know you have a busy day. I heard the governor say that he was going to try to get on a helicopter this morning and survey the situation. And I would imagine when you look at certain areas, the devastation is immense. And even though we're breathing a sigh of relief here in Baton Rouge, it doesn't take away from what has happened south of us. Houma, Terrebonne, Laplace, places like that have been affected dramatically. And Governor, sometimes it takes years to come back from something like this.
It will. But, you know, we got some great people and a great team that has been through this. And so many people have done this before, and we'll do it again. And we'll make it long again. And everybody around the state will reach out and help the people in need.
Well, we thank you, Governor. Keep up the hard work you're doing, and you're not only an ambassador for tourism, but for everything else, and this certainly plays a part. People who travel to our state to enjoy the wonders of Louisiana can usually pick a time away from prime hurricane time, but people who live here, they have to deal with this, and some people, of course, get tired of it after a while and don't want to do so anymore, but we hope that people will stay and that we'll all work together to do our best to be ready. And the good thing, among others, is that the levees held this time. This was a more powerful storm than Katrina, and the levees have not broken in New Orleans. And Billy Nungesser, if that happened, we'd be talking in more stark terms right now.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. The flood protection is a lot better. We need to get the permitting process out the way and go out and build back all of our barrier islands and continue to improve the storm surge protection to the coast. We can do it, but we just got to get through the long red tape it takes to start these projects and get out there and save our coast and improve the protection every year. So hopefully we won't be talking about these things one day.
All right. And listener Doug, we're trying to stay away from controversy today, but Doug says, can we ever come to a consensus on this? Right now there is a disagreement on a plan that has been offered by the coastal protection people and the lieutenant governor. And Billy Nungesser is not the only one on his side, but is there a way to split the baby, or do we have to go back to the drawing board?
Well, you know, this is a great, and we'll talk about that a later time, but, you know, we need protection now. We can't hope that we don't have another major storm for 20 or 50 years. And when you've got that rich sediment in the river that can be pumped out there and lower storm surge to our coast, in our lifetime, Tom, that's what we ought to be doing. We can talk about all the the other plans later. But you know, bonded out $50 million to build those berms and didn't build them. If those would have been out there behind the levee, maybe we don't have those breaches today. I don't know. But we do need to, once we get the process back and rebuild, and we've got to really come together and put the best plan out there the quickest to give us the maximum protection so we don't have to hold our breath every hour.
Well, thank you, Mayor. Excuse me. We had the mayor first, but the governor, the lieutenant governor, the Honorable William Harold Dungesser. Thank you, Governor.
Thank you, my friend.
See you soon and be safe. And he is off to the races, as you can imagine. And today is the 30th day of August, and we are breathing a sigh of relief in Baton Rouge, although there is a remarkable cleanup job that will have to be undertaken as we speak that will continue for some time. And we hope that there won't be a repeat performance from some other calamitous hurricane in the next few weeks, because we're not out of the zone. This is still prime hurricane time. And as we saw with Lake Charles last year, it can't happen twice in the same season in the same place. So hopefully and prayerfully that will not occur here. But we did get spared what could have been a disaster for the Capital Region. And for that, we are grateful. And today is the birthday of one Huey Pierce Long, the Kingfish, who rose to power in the year of 1928 in Louisiana. He was elected after the flood of 1927, the subject of John Barry's award-winning book, Rising Tide, changed the fabric of Louisiana at that time. And in the overall scheme of things, that's not so long ago. Just 94 years ago, we had a flood that changed the landscape of our state. And Huey Long was born on this date in Winfield in the year of 1893, so 128 years ago. Also, the birthday of Ted Williams, the great slugger for the Boston Red Sox, who had his career interrupted by both World War II and Korea, losing 5 years, five of his best years, still hit 521 home runs, lifetime batting average 341. Lifetime on-base percentage, 482 for Ted Williams. What's that old axiom that in baseball you're never going to be successful more than half the time if you're a hitter? Well, he almost was. 482, that's the record. That's even better than Babe Ruth. Ted Williams born in San Diego in 1918, 103 years ago. And I do note that my friend Lester Douay, the fine political consultant, was born on this date in 1958. He is 63, the father of Lester Douay III, who is a fine reporter for WAFB. And tomorrow we'll be talking more about the cleanup from Hurricane Ida. It was a night to remember here in Baton Rouge and across the state, particularly the southern portion, and we will be responding to this for some time to come, because it is a case right now in which we really are uncertain how much damage it did inflict, but it was significant. My friend Diane Gaines, the wife, widow of Ernest Gaines, says in New Roads that she survived it and did not lose power. So God bless Diane Gaines for weathering the storm and being fine. But it will take some time. I lost power in Hurricane Andrew in 1992. It took 2 weeks. It took about that long with Gustav in 2008. So when you have 167,000 homes and businesses out, it's going to take a Herculean effort by people who have come from all over the United States to help the cause in Louisiana. Back tomorrow, we'll talk more. Rowdy Godet, the Baton Rouge Metro Councilman, is slated to be with us, and he has made flooding one of his principal issues. We'll talk with him and get his take on this and more. Until then, thank you for listening. First Financial provides signature support for Talk Louisiana. Stay safe and stay tuned.